listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live from our Chester campus. For more information, head to audaciouschurch.com.
Hey, I got a word for you for the season that you're in, hopefully as a church, but hopefully just you as an individual as well. It's a message I'm entitling The Next Chapter. Here's the thing, your life is a story, and it's a story made up of chapters. So what will your next chapter look like? What's so cool about the season you're in as a church is you can look across the street and see your previous chapter. You can look downstairs in the new auditorium and see your next chapter, and you stepped into this chapter. So what's this chapter of faith gonna look like for you? If you haven't noticed, I am from sunny Southern California. We move fast. I talk really quick. One time a doctor told me I have ADHD. I don't know what that is, an HD, but I have 80 of them. So we're gonna move quick. But I got what's called a sermon in a sentence for you, okay? Like if I talk to teenagers a lot, I love youth ministry. And if you have teenagers, you know they have the attention span of a goldfish. So here's a sermon in a sentence for you. If you're taking notes, God loves you more. Write this down. Faith steps into the unknown and finds God already there. Come on, has anybody else taken a step of faith and saw that God was already there, that he was faithful all the time, that you're like, I don't know how this is gonna work out. I don't know how this is gonna go. You took a step into a room you were never before in and realized, oh God, you've been here all along. You were already there waiting to meet me. What's something that's amazed you in life? Something that was just amazing to you? I know, over here, one of the things amazing about your country is the history. There's so much history in this country. It's so cool. Like, there's a lot of old stuff, just a lot of old things. Like, our country was birthed in 1776. That's like three people ago. It's like three or four people ago. We were in, Hepton Bridge. I was going to say Dunamassy. We did go there, but we saw some deer. They weren't that old, but we were in Hepton Bridge, and we went into this cheese store, and the building had a date on it, and this building was like 500 years old. I'm like, this cheese shop is older than my country. It's just the history here is amazing. The wall that encircles your beautiful city. I don't know if you know this. You guys got voted the prettiest city in the world. Yeah, when Pastor Josh came out and spoke for us, Pastor Josh isn't in service today. He is backslidden. He's preaching. Okay, somewhere he's fine. Somebody asked if he was okay between service, apparently. Pastor Lee, he's like, is he all right? Has your youth pastor really? No, he's good. When Pastor Josh came to us in SoCal, he came and he preached, and you'd be very proud. He brought the heart of the house, and he came and preached to our students and just imparted faith. God, you know what? He really brought a breakthrough in praise for us that we had been praying years for, and he brought that with him and just planted that for us. And we were promoting him as, this guy's coming from the prettiest city in the world. It's this. I don't know if you know that that's where you live. But like, so what's something that's amazed you? I was in Africa a few years ago, saw these massive elephants, giraffes. I was in Kenya, East Africa, went to Masai Mara. Beautiful, I was amazed. We were in Hawaii a few years ago and we were snorkeling with turtles. It's phenomenal. We saw humpback whales. It was just amazing. Did you know that in scripture, there's a moment where Jesus himself was amazed by what? By some guy's faith. There is a kind of faith, catch this, that amazes Jesus. I don't know about you, I want that kind of faith. And so what we're gonna do, we're gonna read two faith stories this morning, starting with this first one where Jesus was amazed. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 5 is where we will begin. Would you stand in the honor of the reading of God's word? We do this back home. It's leg day at Audacious every Sunday. This is not a joke. When I spoke conference, I got shin splints. Do you guys know what that is? I got shin splints at conference. Like, yes, dude, it's leg day all the time at Audacious. Here's what it says, verse number 5 of Matthew 8. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed paralyzed and in terrible pain. Verse 7, Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Does anybody else still believe that Jesus heals? Come on. Jesus is still a healer. It's not something that he did one time. He's something that he does all the time. Verse 8, the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my house. Just say the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. I don't even need to see it. I don't need to phone back home to make sure it happened. Jesus, if you say it, I'll believe it. I know that it'll happen. Verse 9, I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. Verse 10, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, did you catch that? He was amazed. Man, the type of faith that must take. I want that faith. He said to them, I'll tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Before you sit down, let's pray a very long and spiritual prayer. God, speak to us this morning. And God, would you bless Pastor Lee, what's your football team? Newcastle. Would you bless your team, Newcastle? In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Wow, a lot of people did not say amen to that. Grab a seat. They were like, I'm not amening that. It means so be it, and I'm not with that. Hopefully you guys will know this saying. It's a big saying in America, and half of my message is contingent on you knowing this saying. So if you know it, would you finish the sentence? I'll believe it when I... Okay, so you know it. Thank God. I'll believe it when I see it. I grew up SoCal, as Southern California kid as it gets. Warm weather and two sports, surfing and skateboarding. Like, the best sports, by the way. There was a couple teenagers I met before this service. Like, we surf. And I was like, where? They're like, but actually, we went to Abersock. I couldn't imagine getting into the water there. It was so cold. But we would always say this to our friends who would come and you guys have this saying, waffling? That's not bad, is it? Oh, no. Okay, because there's like other things that like are bad to you guys that we say and like this. So that's, okay, we're good. You're going to have me back one day. Thank God. Our friends who will be waffling and they'll be like, hey, so I like kickflipped a 20 stair. And we're like, yeah, I'll believe it when I... Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. I remember one time I was at my friend's house and we're playing basketball, God sport. You know, you take the ball, you don't kick it. You take the ball and you put it in a hoop. It's the best, man. I love basketball. We're playing basketball. The ball goes over the fence. I'm looking for it. And it's like this, it's like a wall, like a kind of cinder block, sort of brick wall. So while I'm looking for the ball, my friends are like, hey, look for the neighbor's dog. They got this new dog. It's this big dog. It's really cool. Take a peek for it. So I'm looking like, oh, I see the ball on the other side of the yard, but I don't see the dog. And they're like, it's over there. Keep looking. So I kind of like get up on the wall, like on my stomach. And I'm like looking for it. I'm like, I don't see any dog. And then I hear growling like down here. I'm like, oh, and I look down and there's a massive dog right below me, and it jumps up towards me. It's not a very tall wall. It jumps up towards me, and it tries to bite my face. But I have the reflexes of a Jedi, for all you nerds out there, and I do that. But as it snapped its jaws closed, it got just the tip of my upper lip, like kind of cleft my upper lip. I fall off the wall. I look down, and I'm immediately covered in blood. And I just freak out and start running home. I'm like a quarter mile away from my house, by the way. I'm running home as fast as I can. I run up the stairs. I run through the front door. My older brother Josh is there waiting for me. I have to preface this next part by saying I was a middle child. Where's all the middle children at? Yeah, like life was rough, dude. Like life was rough. Mom didn't remember the birthday, let alone your name, dude. Like, So I was kind of like a drama king. I was loud. I always wanted to be the center of attention. You had to fight for attention as a middle child. There was six of us growing up, so I really had to fight for the attention. And so I was kind of a drama king. And so I would over-exaggerate things a little. You know, older brother punches you and you throw yourself across the room. Like, ah! I was that kid. Like, so fair enough, right? Because I get home and I run through the front door. My brother's there. I'm covered in blood. Get the picture. I am covered in blood. And I have my hand over my face. And I go, Josh, I got bit in the face by a dog. And he goes, I'll believe it when I see it. I'm covered in blood. So I just move my hand, and he goes, oh my gosh, and he like runs and gets our mom, and I know you're like, oh, I can't even tell. The surgeon did a great job with all three stitches on my upper lip, and so many people live this way, right? I will believe it when I see it. I think the key, one of the keys to the next chapter of your story, the next faith chapter, is to actually take that saying, throw it down, flip it, and reverse it, and not live anymore, I'll believe it when I see it, but rather you will see it when you believe it. Come on, like just having some faith. And I feel in so many ways, Pastor, like I'm just preaching to the choir because you have a church that's lived that. You guys have stepped into it. You're in the next chapter. But I'm not just talking about corporately and collectively as a church. I'm talking about for your life, for your personal life, for your need, for that family member who doesn't know the Lord, for the prodigal sons and daughters, to the grandparents in the room who've been praying for your grandkids for years and it's looking bleak, it's looking impossible. Can I tell you, we serve a God of the impossible, and instead of having this like, I'll believe it when I see it, what if we just started having a, no, I will see it when I believe it, because Hebrews explains faith like this. Faith is the confidence. Somebody say confidence. Come on, look at your neighbor, say confidence. Confidence. Now look at your other neighbor, the one you chose second again. Just explain to them. I love that Hebrews says, faith is the confidence in what we hope for. It's the assurance about what we do not see. See, you will see it when you believe it. Like I love that in Matthew 8:8, this guy says, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. Just say the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. I don't have to see it. I know if you say it, it will happen. And then Jesus tells him, go back home. Because you believed, see, the belief came first. Because you believed, it will happen. How can we begin to live this, you'll see it when you believe it type of faith? Can I tell you, it all starts with how you talk. I know here in the UK, like nobody talks negative. I know it's all complete optimism, positivity. I know for you, when you turn on the news, that it's just really uplifting and encouraging. But back in America, like everybody is constantly saying something negative about everything. It seems like on our side of the world, there are people out there, you know those people who brighten up the room when they walk out? You know, for every single solution, they have 10 problems. It's like there's so much. What if we, look at your neighbor, say, that means you. What if we, as people of faith, just started speaking faith? In every situation, in every moment, in every place, in the coffee shop and at work and at the gym, in our families, when we gather for meals and Auntie so-and-so is just negative, and we just speak life. Can I tell you that life shines like a flashlight in a dark room? What if we just started speaking like that? That's what it takes. Can I tell you, it's really, really hard to get victory when all you speak is defeat. Can I tell you, That as we have this opportunity to speak life, and this is huge because when death is spoken, breakthrough is broken. It's like what Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue can bring death or life. Let's be people who speak life, amen? Let's be people who speak faith. I love that this guy, the Roman soldier, I love the idea that he moves into. He says, I get it, you have authority. You know what's really interesting about this? In this day, Israel was under Roman occupation. That means like basically the Romans were occupying and persecuting the Jews. They were living under the authority of the Jews. So like the Romans essentially had authority over, so the Roman soldier would have, according to like the day and age, had authority over Jesus. And yet the Roman soldier comes to Jesus and gives Jesus authority. See, my servant, he needs healing and I trust your authority. Come on, that thing that you've been praying for, do you really believe Jesus has authority over it? Do you believe that Jesus still has authority over it? We have this old kids ministry song back in America. I don't know if you have it. It goes, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world. And we add wide world in because everybody in America's wide. It's a real problem, Pastor. Do you really believe that Jesus has authority over it? Yeah. Or maybe this is the better question, actually, Danny. Maybe the better question is, Have you given him authority over it? I believe you have authority. And isn't it so easy to pray for like someone else's healing? So I got faith for you, but have you surrendered authority of that area in your life to God, to Jesus? He has authority over it. Can I tell you, you will begin to see it when you believe it. Before sight comes surrender, because faith steps into the unknown and finds God already there. All right, our second story, Joshua chapter 3. Second story, just for context, Joshua's now the leader of the Israelites. See, Moses has passed away. They've come out of Egypt. They've been in the desert. And Joshua's getting ready to take the Israelites into the promised land, straight into Southern California. And and the problem is that there's a river between them and the promised land. The river is called the Jordan. Now, Jordan in the original language, it means the descender, which just sounds like a metal band's name, you know? And the reason it was called the descender is because in flood season or harvest season, the banks, the very shore of the Jordan could be 1 foot deep or it could be 100 feet deep. And infamously, the Jordan would actually kill a lot of people because they would step into the water, assuming it was 1 foot deep, and then just get swept away. That's why it was called the descender. So what's really interesting is the way in which God calls the Israelites to cross the Jordan. He calls the priests to go first and carrying the Ark of the Covenant. He says, you step in, and the moment that your feet touch the water, that it's kind of like this. It's one thing to look at a bridge and go, I believe there's a bridge there. It's a different thing to go put your weight on that bridge and believe it's gonna hold your life up, right? So God says, I want you to step out, and as soon as your feet touch the water, I'll part the water. Now, immediately the Israelites would have like had this flashback to the Exodus, right? Because what happened there? They're at the Red Sea and here come the Egyptians and God, we need you to save us. And their leader, Moses, like your leaders, put a stake in the ground and said, come on, God, do a miracle. And the waters parted. But this time around, God's like, it's not just the leaders that need to put the stake in the ground and see the waters part. It's the people's job to take a step into the waters. So then the priests up front, if I'm the priest up front, I'd be like, God, you part the waters and I'll step in. And God's like, uh-uh, you step in and I'll part the waters. I'm like, God, you part the waters and I'll step in. God's like, no, you step in and I'll part the waters. As the band heads up and I begin to land this, let's check out Joshua chapter 3, verse 14. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, the descender. And the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they went ahead of them. And it was harvest season. Another version would say it's flood season. And the Jordan was overflowing at the banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water, as soon as their feet touched the water at the river's edge, the waters above that point began breaking up a great distance away. They stepped first, then the waters part. God parts the water after our feet move. Amen? So here's the second point to this message. The last point as I land this, it's time to take a step. Look at your neighbor, tell them, take a step. Look at your neighbor that you love so much and you keep choosing second and tell them, take a step. Take a step. Come on, what's the step that God's been calling you to take? Come on, what's the step of faith God's been calling you to take? I know around here, let's just divide the room real quick, okay? Where are all the people who wake up on one alarm? First alarm, just raise your hand. The first alarm. Hi, you monsters. Where are my people? You set like 12 alarms. Come on, one for each disciple. You're like, I got 66 alarms, one for each book of the Bible. I know like nobody here procrastinates. In America, procrastination, big issue. What's that step you've been procrastinating? You've just been putting up, like yesterday you said tomorrow. That's today. What is it? What's the step God's, who's the neighbor God's been calling you to invite to church? I'm saved because a crazy kid named Kevin Calzia invited me to a Bible club at my school and there was free pizza. I didn't grow up in church. You have an invite under your seat to Easter. Invite someone. Who is that? Like, they've just been on your heart. They've been on your mind. You've been praying. You can't help but to pray for them. Some of you, I love how Pastor said, there's one under your seat, but some of you, you got faith for even more. We got a girl back home named Brooklyn. We had a youth rally last year, and she invited 35 friends. And they all these kids we didn't know are walking in. We're like, ah, Brooklyn. Who would come if you would? We'll do the hard work. Pastor Lee will preach a dynamic and amazing message. The band will sound as beautiful as they do now. Like, we'll do the hard work. You just invite. But can I tell you, that's kind of sometimes, Pastor, why Christians, especially in a faith church like this, it's kind of why a lot of them won't take the step God's calling them to take. Because they think that the simple is insignificant. Oh, see, we confuse simple with insignificant. Can I tell you, like, 9 times out of 10, God just calls us to do the simple. We're just the little kid with the lunch, and there's 5,000 people who don't have food, and you're looking at the lunch, the kid's looking at the crowd and looking at the lunch and looking at the crowd going, man, I'm not even gonna make a dent. Can I tell you, it would be easy to look at the prettiest city in the world, Chester, and then to look at what you have and go, oh, I'm not even gonna make a dent. But the little boy, he takes his lunch to Jesus, and Jesus does the multiplying. See, your job's not to save them, your job's to invite them. Your job's not to encounter them. That's God's job. God will encounter them. Your job's just to invite them. Your job's not to provide for, bless. Your job is to trust. Maybe the step God's calling you to take is to be radically generous. So we just did a series called Money Talks. We're listening to this from the other side of the world. Can I tell you, like, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. There's people in the room, you've been saved for a while, but you ain't been baptized. Maybe it's time to get baptized and not just to show up and get dunked. No. You invite your friends, your family, your coworkers. And when they go, I'm not a church person. You go, oh yeah, no, I know that. But today, that day, it's gonna be really important to me, and you're really important to me. So it would be important that you would be there. Just, and can I tell you, it's amazing what'll happen in people's heart when they just spectate you getting baptized. There's people in the room, you have gifts, talents, abilities that nobody else has, but you got them. We need you. Join a team. Serve. What's the step God's calling you to take? You're not going to have the whole picture figured out. It's like what MLK said. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Can I tell you that whoever can be trusted with little, God will trust you with much. Take that little step. But here's, if there's anything I've been excited to share with you, anything I feel like God has called this Hawaiian boy from Southern California who's wearing thermal pants right now because he's braving this second ice age that you guys experience every day. There's anything I've wanted to share with you, it's this. Man, we've been praying for you on the other side of the world. And I feel like this is the word of the Lord for you in the season you're in as a church. I believe that the next chapter in Audacious Chester's story, this is gonna sound a little weird at first, but go with me. I actually don't think it's on Pastor's shoulders. I mean, can I be honest? How much more faith could they have? They are so filled of faith. They are visionaries and dreamers. Josh and Abby, Josh didn't really backslide. He's a good man, okay? They're amazing. The team, the leaders, can I tell you, I actually don't think that the key to your next season and your next chapter, I don't think it's on their shoulders. I think it's on the crucial characters in the story taking their place in the next chapter. I'm gonna say that again. The crucial characters in the story taking their place in the next chapter. This is what I mean. We were talking to Minty, who, like me, this is a term of endearment in America. Minty is what we call a nerd, meaning she's into really cool things like Lord of the Rings. I love Lord of the Rings. Woo! Lord of the Rings came from this side of the world. And my least favorite part of all of the Lord of the Rings films is in the final one, Return of the King, after the Battle of Gondor, and they're at the Black Gates, and we're losing all the cool kids in the room. You know, the ones who like made the football team and had friends and popularity. But go with me, all right? He's at the Black Gate, and out come this huge army of orcs, and they only have a little bit of people, and there's a lot of people, but they're doing it to distract all these people so Frodo can get the ring to the mountain and destroy it. And my least favorite part, Danny, is when Aragorn, he sees like the big old army, he looks at them, and he looks back at his small little group, and he goes, "For Frodo." No, for Sam. Dude, Sam was the best. Sam wasn't the main character. But on that point, you could have even said for Merry and Pippin, the other two hobbits. What are you saying? I'm saying they were not the main characters. They were supporting roles. And yet the ring wouldn't have been destroyed. The mission wouldn't have been accomplished if the crucial characters in the story didn't take their place. Spoiler alert, you're Sam. I'm Sam. You're a crucial character. Would you take your place? Let me just say this. Let me be family. I'm just gonna be family for a quick moment, all right? You already didn't boo and throw tomatoes at me when I prayed for Newcastle, so follow me here. Don't we just make excuses? I know I did. God called me to the ministry, and I went and talked to all my friends who were being called to ministry, and I was like, hey, so like you're gonna do ministry? Yeah. What does your dad do? My dad's a pastor. What about you? My dad's a pastor. What about you? My dad's a pastor. And I went, well, my dad was in prison. I never knew him. He abandoned us. My mom, she was pregnant at 17, had an abortion at 18, and me at 19. When she was pregnant with me, she fell back into her drug addiction. I was born addicted to drugs and taken from my mother. I was born in the wrong family, on the wrong side of the track. We were low income. And when I got called to ministry, I started making all the excuses. What are you saying, Corey? I'm saying, I know that when I got up to preach a moment ago, you're like, blonde hair, tattoo, this guy's gonna preach? You know, I looked in the mirror this morning and I said the same thing to myself. This guy's gonna preach, but if I'm here on the other side of the world doing this, can I tell you, God can use anybody. Don't we make excuses though? God can use anybody just to boost your faith. Can I tell you that Noah got drunk? Abraham was too old. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Moses was a murderer. Gideon was afraid. Rahab was a prostitute. David was an adulterer. Elijah was suicidal. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Peter denied Jesus. Paul persecuted Christians. And oh yeah, Lazarus, he was dead. What's our excuse? Come on, take a step. Take the step of faith. It's in front of you. You don't have to have all the answers. Don't make excuses. Just step in and step out. Can I tell you that you will see it when you believe it? So what is it? What's the simple step of faith God's calling you to take?
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.